Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
Now, welcome back. Dan McDonald of the Irish Independent still here. Hello, Dan.
Joe.
You are furiously typing out there. There's obviously something big in the papers tomorrow.
No, I tell you, well, I don't mind. I don't mind really discussing to a degree. There's obviously more stuff going to come out about this All-Ireland League proposal, which I know you haven't necessarily got up to speed in it yet. So I think it's something maybe to discuss in maybe more detail on another day. Okay. But obviously, you know, we're talking League of Ireland here, and the League of Ireland this year has possibly been, you know, it's been overshadowed, I think, to be honest, by the crisis that hit Irish football in March, which has hung over everything in Irish football over the last couple of months. So, like, football is taking place in the background.
Yeah.
We've even found out with some of the international games, to be honest, as well, that it's almost been lost in this broader picture. But what has also entered the debate now is a group that's now proposing this idea of a cross-border All-Ireland League, which would be a seismic shift for football on the island. Mm. And we've got Brian Kerr and other people of substance involved, with a guy called Kieran Lucid, an entrepreneur from Kerry, who's driving the plan. So, had some discussions again. He's doing a small bit of, you know, the group are doing a small bit of press and media stuff. So there's going to be some more reading on that tomorrow, just on, you know, the timelines and what happens next and where it goes. So there's something.
How big an appetite is there for this? Because my memories of the Santa Cup are that it didn't really light people's worlds up.
Well, I think the problem with the Santa Cup was that it was only a cup. You know, in the sense that, but it was only a cup that was an addendum to everyone else's regular day-to-day existence.
Sure.
So how do you make this work? I think it's a bit like the idea of an All-Ireland League has always had a certain cachet, but the whole mindset of people is, well, but hang on, how will this actually work? Like, and ultimately, to sell it to people, what you need is a lot of money.
Okay.
You know, and you need to say that this is a better option than what you have at the moment. Mm. So if you have two leagues that are struggling along, and you're able, and you know, with prize money being an issue, the Northern Irish League has lost the European place, which is losing money. And if you say to them, well, we're putting a commercial proposal together here that will, you, individual club owner that has a business that's struggling, we will give your business more money, then all of a sudden, that starts the debate. Now, there's broader political and issues and obstacles to overcome to sell this idea. But as I said, what they do have is a plan, at least. And you may debate the plan and you may disagree with aspects of the plan. And you may say aspects of the plan, maybe this doesn't seem realistic, but it is a plan. And I think, you know, we'll have a chat about it again. I think, you know, the best thing, maybe have some of the people involved to maybe explain the plan, because I'm not like a mouthpiece for it, because I actually would hold reservations about aspects of it. But
okay.
I think there's an interesting debate to be had here that certainly I didn't think was plausible before.
The reason we dragged you in here is because the League of Ireland is officially in the mid-season break. 2 weeks off, next round of fixtures, 20th of June, so this weekend, Shamrock Rovers host Dundalk in Talla, which is a nice way to kickstart things again. It's a good way of doing it. I don't know if that was
preordained
or not.
But no, it wouldn't have been planned, but it turned out to be the title race, yeah.
Yeah. Dundalk are on 49 points after 21 matches. Shamrock Rovers are on 44 points after 21 matches. And then you're down to Bowes on 37. So this is Dundalk Rovers for the title.
Yeah. Well, the change this year is that it's not Dundalk and Cork for the title for the first time since 2013.
Yeah.
But Dundalk have stuck around. Cork have gone backwards. John Caulfield has left and they're in a bit of a transitional phase now. So Shamrock Rovers have stepped up to the mark as the challenger to Dundalk.
Rovers started brilliantly.
Oh, they led the way. Johnny Ward on this show declared the league title race over, famously, and cannot escape that montage I think Nathan made, which haunts him.
So the story of this campaign is that Rovers got off to a brilliant start. At the same time, Dundalk, without Stephen Kenny for the first time in a long time, were wobbling. That was the situation.
Yeah, Dundalk started slowly. Vinnie Perth, the new head coach, manager, official title is head coach, but he's in charge. And yeah, they dropped some silly points in the opening weeks. Rovers looked very good, very good. I mean, Jack Byrne came in and they signed some very good players. And then Jack Byrne also became available. They signed him.
Yeah.
And he was in the Ireland squad. And I mean, Jack Byrne is one of the best talents produced by Irish football in the last decade.
It's been great to see how well he's adapted and done, because sometimes a big name comes back like that, they think it'll be a bit of a walk in the park.
Yeah.
Then they realise actually they're surrounded by lots of very fit players and lots of decent players. They get frustrated, they maybe lose interest. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
Whereas Byrne,
he's complimented
has done very
them.
Well.
He's complimented them and made them better. But at the same time, what's happened now is that Dundalk have won 11 out of the last 12 games, while Rovers hit a bit of a wobble. And they have, but Rovers have lost all the Derby games to Bowes. You can't escape that. It's, I mean, it's an extraordinary run. I actually, there's all this.
I know what James Talbot thinks.
Yeah. James Talbot talking about the. Do you want to read James Talbot quotes there? Do you want to go with them?
Everyone familiar with James Talbot at this stage. Actually, that's a theme of the League of Ireland season.
Bowes goalkeeper.
Part one is that. Jack Byrne's been called up to Irish squads. James Talbot's been called up to Irish squads. So Talbot recently, after the win over Rovers again for Bowes, the keeper, said, "It's always good to beat them. We don't have much respect for them, to say the least." They look down on us. They don't think we're good players. Do they? Is the Bowes team just dreamt this up?
Well, the problem the Bowes fans would have is that Rovers keep signing their players.
I'm not finished yet, Dan. We've got heart, we've got passion, something that I don't think they have.
Strong words. But like, you know, the Bowes unity, and Bowes have been probably one of the stories of the season.
I'll come to Bowes in a minute. So stick with Rovers.
Okay.
They're having this weird situation dynamic with Bohemians. Aside from that, to what extent are they wobbling? To what extent can they push Dundalk 5 points behind?
There's a couple of problems with Rovers. Yes, they keep losing those derbies, which is definitely a momentum checker. Secondly, Dundalk have a much deeper squad than Rovers. And Rovers' biggest problem really this season, if you were to ask a Rovers fan now, what's your problem? They would say they don't have a title-winning striker.
Their joint top scorers are McInniff and Green, both midfielders, both with 5 goals.
Well, Green has actually been playing as their striker, but, I mean, that's like, in many people's eyes, he would be a winger or a midfield-type player, but he actually has been their most involved central striker.
It's something
they have to address in the window. The talk of Patrick Hooban, who, albeit maybe hasn't played as... No, I wouldn't say played as well. He hasn't scored as many goals in general play as he did last year, but he's still comfortably top scorer because they've got quite a few penalties. He's actually still been good in all-round play, but maybe, you know, it took him a while to get going as well this season too. But Dundalk have goals around the park and they just have a deeper squad.
Yeah.
And in a league where there's a lot of congestion and fixtures, I think that Rovers started very well, but then they hit a bit of a wobble and they didn't have the depth and quality in squad to pull them through that sticky patch.
Yeah.
And there was one game where they lost up in Dundalk with a couple of injuries and they ended up with a completely depleted defence, the completely depleted back four with a 16-year-old debutant at fullback. So that's definitely been an issue for Rovers, that when they've missed a couple of players, it's really hurt them. Whereas Dundalk, like, who by signing Andy Boyle, for example, this week, is just pointing out that they have the muscle. So really, the big debate as we head into the Rovers and Dock game on Friday is, there's 5 points between it. Does that reflect the gap between the clubs, or is it a case that actually the gap is bigger and Dundalk, once they got going, were the dominant force? Now, Rovers, I think, will strengthen in July. They've got potentially another interesting story that's coming around the tracks, is potential investment by Dermot Desmond in Shamrock Rovers, which might allow them to get, you know, to maybe offset some of the problems that they face to close that gap. But I would say, in a broad point, like, I would be a small bit worried about the depth and quality of the league beyond the top two and three this year. I would say that there's other clubs in transition, and with Europe coming up, which is often the barometer for testing the clubs in the league, I'd have a slight fear about the extent to which they've been tested on a week-to-week basis. I think that's a valid topic. The Dock have won 11 and 12, and I wouldn't say they've been scintillating.
Right,
you know, they've been good, but it's almost a sense that it hasn't been as challenging for them at times, and for Rovers in certain games, that you would like.
Chatting to End Outside is a big League of Ireland fan, and I was just saying, in general terms, you're into it. What have you made of it? And he said, a bit underwhelming on the whole.
Now, I would say Enda 2 weeks ago had two games in Dublin. One was Bowes Rovers, which was one of the best occasions I've been to this season. And the other one was Pats and Finn Harps. They went to Pats and Finn Harps. I mean, that says something about Enda's lifestyle choices. To be fair, you know, he has to take some of the flack for that. But that Bowes Rovers game was brilliant. I don't know if you saw the goal by Danny Mandreou, who's been one of the talents of the season.
But he was maybe saying as well that, look, you use a bit of that, you lose that Kenny John Caulfield rivalry. That was a good kind of spearhead for the league. And maybe nobody, you know, not many people see Rovers catching Dundalk. So it's fine. He's not saying it's a disaster.
Yeah.
He's not saying it's been a massive story. But in 10 years' time, you won't be saying, God, 2019 was a great one.
No, but it's funny. I remember...
Don't be defensive here now.
I'm not being defensive. I've made the point several times that I'm worried about the depth of the league in terms of, like, are we getting enough high-level games between good sides? Like, that would be my slight fear. My only counterpoint to that...
Does the league miss the Kenny Caulfield thing?
I'm not so sure about that. Like, I think that was getting... there was an element of fatigue kicking in about that too. Okay. So I'm not so sure if that's... I think the variety of Rovers actually being in the title race has been a good thing.
Yeah.
Cork dropping off that badly is not good, because I always think the league's much better when Cork are going well.
Cork are in seventh.
Yeah, yeah. But the one thing I would say, 2016, I remember having a discussion around this time of the year, being really underwhelmed by the league that season. The Dundalk were sort of in control in the league without necessarily hitting top speed.
Yeah.
And then they went on this amazing European run. So I would say that the memory of the season is generally shaped by the second half,
fair
not the first half. You know,
everybody's in agreement. Bows are just a feel-good story. Third place, young, youth, energy.
Great Friday night entertainment value.
Hottest ticket in town.
Well, it's a match night experience. Yeah. People want to go, and they're not necessarily relying on the football to make their night. But the football has also been good. But like football, like you're having a broader debate across this show. Say over the last couple of days and weeks, say about Dublin, the strength of GAA in Dublin. What does this mean? The football, like League of Ireland football in Dublin, has been really weak over the last couple of years. I don't think it's been developing. There's still enough of a population to go around to have a more vibrant presence within the league in Dublin. I think the clubs in Dublin have got their act together a bit to a degree.
Yeah.
Rovers are doing some good stuff, and Bows in particular around match night have really upped their game.
Anything in particular around match night?
I suppose. The fact that it's not sticking in town, because the ground isn't fit for purpose, so they can only have a couple of thousand seats, like, you know, three and a half thousand seats, that it is selling out regularly, and that builds a buzz. But it's just the atmosphere. There's a good bond between the players and the fans. There's bars, there's a bit of entertainment there. The ground is, listen, it's still a bit of a young male vibe. It's not necessarily like a wonderful family friendly stadium, and that's the next stage. But it's just about creating a buzz, word of mouth. This is a good place to go and have an entertaining Friday evening. And if you've only got 20, 30 quid, 40 quid to spend on a Friday evening, spend it here. And they've managed to just get that right with clever marketing, doing stuff in the area. Because I say there's loads of people in Dublin who could be tapped into that haven't been tapped into.
There's a lot of people bored on a Friday night, don't worry. Danny Mondreo, back from Brighton. How good is he?
He's a talented player. Like
Player of the season so far? Who are the contenders, top two or three?
Danny Mondreo, I'd say. I mean, Jack Byrne definitely would be in the debate. I still think someone like Michael Duffy at Dundalk, Sean Gannon at Dundalk, they have some very good, consistent players, but because that's their standard, they don't necessarily get comments for rising above it. Listen, if you go to a game on a Friday night, you want to see someone that's like better than everyone you know, in the sense that they can do things that the normal player at a lot of levels can't do. And like what Danny Mondreo has done on several occasions this year is just produce a moment that has shocked other players. At the Bows Rovers game, I wasn't working, I was off duty. I was sat near the Bows had quite a few players injured for that game. And Danny Mondreo, on his wrong foot, this is the thing, the goal that people might have seen, that wasn't like his favourite left foot. That wasn't his favourite side. And he pings it into the top corner in a derby to win it from 25 yards. And Derek Pender is one of the most experienced players of the club. He was standing up, turning around to people going, oh my God, what have I just seen? And this is someone who trains with him. So Danny Mondreo was very unhappy in Brighton. Like, this is a classic case of someone, it just wasn't for him. Wrong place, wrong time. And in another place, in another time, this guy drops out of football completely and he's nearly never heard of again.
Yeah.
And what Bows has given him, it's just a good fit at this moment in his life to allow him get back going. He sort of reminds me a bit of, and he's a different type of player, he's more offensive, but a bit like Keith Fahey to a degree, in just terms of this sort of prodigious ability to strike the ball. And there's just something about how he carries himself that reminds me of him, even if he's a more... slightly different type of player. But even Fat even commented that his goal at Daily Mount was reminiscent of a goal Fat he got in Daily Mount back in the day. So he's someone to go and watch. Jack Byrne's someone to go and watch.
Yeah.
They probably won't be here for that long.
Yeah.
And while they are, like, they are worth the admission fee of going along to watch them.
Cork seventh. In a word, what's going on there?
I think it was the end of the affair with Caulfield to a degree. I think, I mean, he will still be remembered probably as their best ever manager, you know, or certainly someone would need to do remarkable things in the near future. But the warning signs were there last year that the things were creaking a small bit.
Yeah.
Just things go stale. It happens. Very, very, very few people in football and like ever leave a club on their own terms. And after a really good, solid, like five and a half year run, it had just... it just wasn't working. I don't think his voice was working in the dressing room. I think just a fatigue had set in. There was a change of board.
Yeah.
They probably would have shared the view that fatigue had set in. And the time for change was needed. But the drop-off was fairly dramatic. Like, I thought they might slip back a bit this year. They were really poor. Okay. And they need to regroup because it's a club that has so much to offer.
Yeah.
And they can't really be languishing down there.
No, a strong Cork is good for the league, there's no doubt. So your hopes for the second part of the season?
I hope there's a title race. I mean, I think there is a slight danger if Dundalk beat Rovers on Friday that there isn't one.
8 points.
So, but the main hope for me is always that Europe goes well.
Yeah.
And I'm not so sure about how that will go. But like, that is the best shop window for the league to really sell itself. And beyond that, the broader picture, and it does tie in with Everton, no one knows what structure the league is going to really take from 2020-21 onwards. And that with everything that's going on now around Irish football, that the league is at the centre of what's going forward. That's probably more important than anyone winning the league or getting through a round in Europe.
Yeah.
It's that. But at the same time, a good title race or a good league or a good European run reminds people why it's important to make this at the centre of any reforms.
It's true. You'll be writing about the proposals for the All-Ireland League in the Irish Independent tomorrow. Dan, thanks so much.
Thank you, Joe.
Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.